All right, continuing the conversation now. And I just see from Cyber Monday, sales down. Just pulling this off, hot off the press. Consumers logged on Monday and spent $10.7 billion. A 1.4% decrease. First time ever there's been a decrease in sales. And so I put that against what President Joe Biden told me yesterday, that, you know, the economy's doing great and he's produced more jobs than anybody ever. It's just, I'm sorry, but it's not true. Joining me is James Holman, Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. And job announcements are failing to drive job growth. James, good to have you back.
Good morning.
And so this notion that somehow Joe Biden has created more jobs than any time in any president in history, it just doesn't stand up to the evidence that I have in front of me. Am I missing something?
No, I don't think so, because, he started at the, when the economy was growing, we had terrible losses in 2020 due to the pandemic, and we've been regaining them slowly, so, you know, I don't think we're back to where we used to be, and that's really the only thing that we should be looking for, is to fully recover from where we were in the pandemic or where we were before the pandemic, and that's still going to take months. So until you do that, you really've got nothing to boast about. And to that point, though, politicians do love to boast about jobs. Regardless of what the data are actually saying, they kind of sound like Prometheus incarnate, bringing fire to man. So this is that governors do this, the presidents do this one. They like to show up at ribbon-cutting ceremonies and plant openings and say, look, I'm bringing the future of jobs here. And so what I did, though, was to tally up those things, because there are a database of job announcements. The Site Selection magazine uses this to give their governor's cup to each state, and I stack them against job growth. And these business projects that make the news have nothing to do with actual economic performance. We should not be paying attention to anything they say, and we should look at the data.
All right, so let's do that a little bit, James. Let's dig through the numbers. I see that, and again, there is so much information. I don't pick your topic. Any topic of great interest. People flood the field with all sort of information. You have to try to decide what's true or not. And I see these charts all the time recently that shows 17 of the 20 states doing the best in the recovery. 17 of the 20 are red states, and then 3 are blue states, none of which are Michigan, by the way. And so how do we stack up? How does Michigan look compared to the rest of the country? Where are we in our recovery? And in your estimation, what could we do to make things better?
Yes. So Michigan is in the bottom tier for recovery. We're clearly not the best. We're not among the worst, but you know, Michigan's still down a couple of around 5% of its jobs that it had before the pandemic. And there are two states that have fully recovered, and that's Utah and Idaho. The rest of us are still struggling to get back to where we were.
And how do we, you know, what is the path that we need to take? I mean, when you look at job growth, I mean, you talk about these, job fairs or announcements to drive job growth, and it's just not happening. And it just seems to me that maybe it's bad governance. Maybe Michigan doesn't compete because we have limiting factors. Yeah, and let's be honest. What did you say? Utah and Idaho are the first ones back. Okay, they've got mountains, but they don't have sunshine. They don't have sandy beaches, so they can't beat us in that way. We ought to be able to compete with those folks, right?
Yeah, you've just got to be a high growth, high excitement kind of state, and we haven't been that for a long time. There are some things that Michigan can do to improve its competitiveness. The state's sitting on $11 billion. Half of that is state revenue they can use for whatever it wants. And 12 other states have lowered their taxes over this pandemic. In fact, Ohio now taxes income at lower rates than Michigan does. And I think that, you know, allows people to keep more of their own revenue or more of their own money. It encourages job growth. That would be a good policy to have.
Wouldn't that be remarkable?
Our job prospects.
You know, when Nancy Pelosi retires to Florida, now she did buy a $25 million house, mansion, whatever. when Nancy Pelosi retires to Florida because there's no state income tax, you have to go, now that makes sense. I mean, when you have low taxes, people are attracted. Look at the growth in Florida, just as an easy example, right?
Yes, Florida is one of the states that lacks income tax. There are other states, they tend to do better. Florida has a high sales tax, of course. That's one way of making sure that the tourists that are important to their economy contribute to the state government. So, you know, there are trade-offs to everything. But, I mean, that's for high-income individuals, like I assume Nancy Pelosi, it's
a I'll make that assumption,
benefit.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit to locate in a state where they're not going to tax your income.
Yeah, I'll make the assumption that Nancy Pelosi is not going to go hungry anytime soon.
Yeah. By the way, that was apparently one of the reasons why some football players like to play in Florida, because they're high-income people. Florida doesn't tax income.
That's right. So if you're Tom Brady, maybe that's a good reason to move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Donald Trump, maybe it's a good reason to move to Florida. And I guess, you know, and Nancy Pelosi, too. People from all walks of life and different political persuasions. So tax base, clearly one of the things. But we still, you know, I go back to here in Michigan, one of the things that we still have not been able to do is have roads that, you know, don't knock your fillings out, a lot of them still. Mm-hmm. After all that's been done and said, we still have, and people want to live in places where, you know, the roads are decent and the schools are good and the water, you know, that they drink is safe. I mean, these are just basics, right?
Yeah, and we're actually getting close to the point where we're putting together the roads faster than they fall apart. We have spent a lot more money on roads, and that's been a positive thing. But this dispute between the governor and the legislature about whether we need to raise taxes in order to spend more money on the roads has kind of derailed the progress. Now, again, lawmakers are sitting on $11 billion right now. That could be used to get us to that point where we're putting the roads together faster than they're falling apart, setting us on a course for continual improvement over the long term. That's where we should be going. I really hope that they find some consensus around that.
I hope so, too. But I also hope they take a big chunk of that $11 billion and make sure we have plenty of money in the rainy day fund. I think that that's incredibly important. I think it should be bigger than it's ever been in the past. But I'm just a guy who says, look, whether it's Omicron or whatever comes down the pipe, you have things happen. You ought to be prepared for it. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, well, I want to follow up on the rainy day thing. Michigan's budget through that pandemic was remarkably robust. We decreased revenue for a little bit, and then revenue came in at higher than expected. State taxes now collect more money now than before the pandemic. We didn't really suffer recessionary harms, and on top of that, the state's been flooded with cash from the federal government. So, like, the state's budget has been pretty robust. If you want to take some of that savings and set aside for a rainy day, that's great.
That's
but I would
I
suggest
think.
Paying down debt, too.
I agree with that. Pay down debt, save for a rainy day. Those are the two things that I would do. And of course, fix the roads. James, greatly appreciate it, as always. James Homan, Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Steve.
Quick break. I'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
We represent the bakers, auto repair shops, manufacturers, small business owners. Our job is to help businesses succeed by giving them a voice against restrictive regulations and overreaching government. Our commitment is to create and promote good public policy that will restore a strong, healthy economy. Our focus is being your champion for free enterprise. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
I'm Steve Gruber, and I love flannel. For the love of flannel, be sure to grab a Grand Flannel by Muskox, a Michigan company focused on adventure and American wildlife conservation. I wear Grand Flannel all the time, a super durable, comfortable 100% cotton flannel perfect for the Michigan outdoors. To find out more, go to GoMuskox.com. GoMuskox.com for the love of flannel. Go to GoMuskox.com.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan Water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
Homeowners, today's high-efficiency oil heat systems are so advanced that you can cut your bills by 25% or more when you upgrade. And with rebates up to $1,000, there's never been a better time to replace your old oil heat equipment. To learn more about oil heat rebates, visit useoilheatmichigan.com. Brought to you by the locally owned and operated members of the Michigan Petroleum Association and the National Oil Heat Research Alliance.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information.